Either your parents came, or I hope your friend's parents came and took you out. Even though none of your parents took me out. Huh? Oh, yeah? Wait, whose sister just got engaged?
R.S. Fine.
What was that? I didn't see you. I didn't see Saturday night. Okay, Avi's a good man. From Baltimore. Baltimore Fussin. Okay. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Adam, you missed that.
What?
I said, Avi's a good man. He's from Baltimore. And he said... All right, okay. On that note, he served it right up for you. So, I want to do a little bit of a different shear than usual, certainly a different shear, kind of shear than last week, and that is to focus on the topic...
Is it
still going around? Oh. Focus on a topic that is more, I guess you could say, halacha lemaisa. It's not lemaisa for any of you, because we're discussing the laws of conversion. But it's lemaisa in terms of the world, and as you may know, if you've been following the news at all over the last few years, it's actually quite an important topic and even a controversial topic in Israel in contemporary times. And one of the topics that relate to conversion that's most practical and most controversial, actually, at least in the terms of the story, gets its first mention in our parsha this coming week. Yisach is a great parsha, and there's obviously a lot of stuff in the parsha, but perhaps, for a bunch of guys, you know, the most testosterone-packed, the most action-packed story, of course, is the story with Shimon and Levi and their tricking and then taking revenge on Shechem and the rest of the family. So if you take a look at the psukim that I put on top of the sheet, keeping an eye towards our topic is Gerus L'Shem Ishus, that is, someone who converts for the sole purpose of wanting to marry a Jew, a man to a Jewish woman or a woman to a Jewish man. So in light of that, these psukim really come alive. The psukim that I put here from Perek Lamed Aleph begin with Shimon and Levi going to Shechem and Hamor and telling, Ach, bezos ne'os lachem, imtu kamonu ne'himo lachem l'chol zachar. Listen, you know what you did to our daughter, our sister is not acceptable, we can't accept that. But we have a proposition for you. If you will convert, obviously, bris milah is one of the components of a male's conversion. And then as a result, why will you convert? What will you get out of it? Right, it will be one am. And of course, Shimon and Levi weren't proposing that they would convert out of Yaakov's family. You will join us, you will join our faith, you'll convert to our faith, and then you'll be able to marry our daughters and sisters and us with you, because after all, we'll be now of the same faith. If not, then it's over, we're going to take back our daughter and our sister and we're leaving. So, Pasuk tells us in Yudches, they agreed, they liked the proposition. And then the Pasuk continues, I think it's an important one in Yudches, they didn't delay. You might have thought, second thoughts, a little bit nervous. You know, you have to give yourself a shot, but you're not necessarily running to do it. Here's a very painful thing. They ran to do it. He ran to do it. Shechem. Why? Ki chafet bevas Yaakov. And in other words, don't have any confusion. Don't have any doubt as to why they're doing this. They didn't all of a sudden decide that they love Yaakov or his family. They didn't all of a sudden decide they love Hashem or our way of life. It was all because he wanted to marry Dina. That simple. And then they tell the rest of their village or people, however you want to describe their people, and explaining them exactly in this way, not because of anything beautiful or anything spiritual or anything, if you call it l'shma, but totally practical. These people, they want to be together with us. Right, we'll do business with them, it'll be profitable, and we'll be able to get married with their daughters and sisters. Everything will be good, but if you want to do that, we have to join them, we have to be circumcised like them, we have to join their faith. As a result, if we'll do that, then it won't just be their wives, but also mikneim, mikinyanim. There'll be a financial benefit, right? Romantic benefits, physical benefits. It's all good. Another thing you have going on here is Shimon Levi proposing and them accepting geirus for ulterior motives. Of course, we know what happens next. They actually go through it, and a few days later, Shimon Levi kill all the men and retake their sister. So first of all, right on the surface, you already have a basis, you know, in terms of the narrative of the story, as I said, for our topic. And I want to discuss, broadly speaking, throughout history, what the halachos are of such propositions. Obviously, they're not usually made, you know, at high noon in such dramatic showdown kind of circumstances. But the idea that you would have non-Jews converting for ulterior motives is certainly not new. It's not. It's very old, and in fact, it's certainly well aware of the Gemara. We'll see that Gemara in a moment. But I didn't have a chance to look at it inside, but there's a series of svarim called Chavatzel Hasharon on Chumash, if you may be familiar with it. Very nice series of svarim. So I had in my notes, I just didn't have a chance to look up the original, that I think he quoted the Chasam Sofer as suggesting perhaps that, you know, that the story, which is really the only thing that's more dramatic than Shimon Levi's showdown with Shechem, is their showdown with their father afterwards. And the Pesukim are very, very dramatic, especially since the Torah actually leaves us on a cliffhanger. You know, there's like a debate. Yaakov gives them Shtar Musar, and then they reply with a very equally strong response. And you kind of left, at least in terms of Pashup Shat and Chumash, you know, whose argument was more persuasive, who was really right. It's like a very dramatic, stark ending in the Pesukim. Of course, Rishonim and Chazal discuss it, but Pesukim are very dramatic that way. And I saw quoted that the Chasam Sofer suggests that perhaps the debate was about the legitimacy of this kind of a conversion. The Shimon Levi, in essence, were defending themselves, saying to Yaakov, we didn't do anything really wrong. Come on, they weren't sincere. They weren't really converting. And Yaakov apparently was saying back, Chazal was just, no. Even though they might have had ulterior motives, but they went through the process. They did what you told them to do. How dare you kill what, you know, there was no term of Jew yet in the world, but in essence, how could you kill them? They converted, they're one of us. So I didn't see the Chassidus inside, and it's certainly not Pashup Shat in the discussion of the Chumash, but either way, whether he said, hopefully he said it, so I'm quoting it to you, but whether it's compelling or not, that question, the halachic question, is one that is addressed directly by the Gemara, and the Rishonim, and then the Poskim afterwards. So let's take a look. So the first source of Gemara is the a lot of the big Geirus sugyas are actually in Yevamos. The sugyas that relate to Ger Katan, if any of you recently learned Ksubas, you know the Ger Katan, if a child converts, that's in Ksubas. But in terms of an adult converting, the basic sugyas that are scattered throughout Yevamos. So there, here in fact though, the Mishnah is describing something which also has parallels, which we'll get to later in the Shir, but the actual halacha of Nitan. Nitan of Shifcha is a halacha that if you have a person who is known, by rumor frankly, but is known or other evidence, to be desirous and perhaps having acted on even other desires with a non-Jew, with a non-Jewish slave, so even though in theory if he would free her and she'd be Jewish, he would be allowed to marry her, a non-Jewish slave who is freed then becomes a full Jew, but someone who is Nitan al Shivcha, there's an Isser, considering that we're worried that even before she converted they weren't doing the best of things, so we don't allow them, so to speak, to launder their past indiscretions and let them marry, you know, with the sanction of halacha under the chuppah. That's the halacha of Nitan. And the Mishnah mentions that here on Daf Chav Dalet. Then, in commenting on that Mishnah, the Gemara says as follows. The Mishnah had basically said, you know, you shouldn't do it. But the implication, says the Gemara, end of the first line, Hagi Yaris Miyahava. It's no one's saying that she's not Jewish. We're just saying we don't want to, so to speak, reward this indiscreet behavior before the conversion. It sounds like she is Jewish. It's a full conversion. And the Gemara says it's a steer of Ramini. Echad ish, shiniskaya l'sham isha, v'echad isha niskaya l'sham ish. We have a brisa that says, what if you have somebody who, going back to our parsha, who converts for the sake of marriage, a man for a Jewish woman or a woman for a Jewish man, either way, or mishin eskayel l'shem shulchan melachim, the Jews are mighty and powerful, right? Rabbi, the Gemara Megillah commenting on the psukim at the end of Megillah's Esther says that after the Jewish people, you know, defeated their enemies in the time of the Purim miracle, people were so overwhelmed with either fear or respect of the Jewish people that many, many people converted. It's not clear that those are legitimate conversions, because they were converting because they said, you know what, let's get with the, you know what, everyone likes to ride a winner. So the Jewish people are on top, let me join. Again, it wasn't sincere, it was an ulterior motive, a power grab. Or, for example, they say in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, to be part of Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom, he's the mightiest king, he's conquering nations, he's wealthy, everything's gone great in Israel, in time of Shlomo, who wouldn't want to be part of that people? Again, ulterior motives. In all these cases, Rabbi Nechemiah is quoted as saying, Einam Gerim. Because they're not sincere, there's no sincere acceptance of Kabbalah and Mitzvos, therefore, Nechemiah says they're not good converts. And again, it goes against the stem of our Mishnah, which seemed to imply that they would be good converts. The Gemara says, Einam Gerim, Machlokas, and the Gemara Paskins, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Bar Shmuel, Bar Marta, Mishmeinu Rav, Halacha, Kedivrei Omar, Kulam Gerim Haim. For Mekel and the Shiloh, even though it's not l'chachila, as we'll see in the Rambam in a second, but b'dyeved kulam geirim heim, that says the Gemara. So even though it was not for noble purposes, but if they converted, the conversion stands. So the Rambam, as I mentioned, the Rambam has a discussion of this halacha. The Rambam is very lengthy, it's even quite a few lines, even with all the parts that I left out, where the dots are. And it's a little bit confusing at times, and there's a lot of discussion on this Rambam and later Rishon Ra'achronim, which we're not going to get into because they're on the broader topic of Kabbalah Mitzvos and Gerus, and I want to focus specifically on our topic, which is Gerush for the sake of marriage. But let's see how the Rambam, in the course of three, four halachos, sketches out his understanding of the conclusion of this Gemara. Says the Rambam, Halachos Surabiyah, Parak Yigimel, Halacha Yadali, Shehamitzvah HaNachona, what is the right thing to do? You know, we should never lose sight of that. What is the right thing to do? Hamitzvah HaNachona. Someone shows up on the rabbi's door and says, I want to convert. We don't just say, that's great. Get your Rosh Hashanah seats now. We say, well, you have to boat kinacharov. Let's look into this. Let's see, why are they doing it? What are their motivations? Shema b'gal momon. Right, they heard the Jews have money. Or b'shvil sarara. Or maybe because the Jews are at a time in history very powerful, they want to get the power. The Israel lobby. Oh, Nepachad, we're a very mighty army, they're scared of us. Maybe those are the reasons Bal Hikanes Ladas. Maybe those are the reasons why he or she are converting. And then the Gemara specifically adds the topic of our shir, the Rambam. In Ishu, Bod Kinacharov, Shema Enov Nasan, but Isha Yehudis. Right, maybe it's a man, it's because he fell in love with a Jewish woman. It's a very common phenomenon, as you know. Right? Most, I think, I'm pretty sure this is true, it's certainly true on college campuses, but most of the intermarriages are with Jewish men and non-Jewish women. It happens in the other direction too, unfortunately. But I had a friend that I grew up with. Our families were very close friends, even though he didn't grow up in a strictly Shomer Shabbos home. And he was tall and good-looking. And he was also Jewish, which made him especially eligible when he went to University of Miami in Florida. I remember him telling me that the non-Jewish girls there were like consciously searched after Jewish boys. They were desperate. They wanted to marry a Jewish man. They thought he would treat them better. So the nisayon for a Jewish man has always been great. There's always non-Jewish women who wanted to marry Jewish men. And the Rambam says you have to be careful, you have to look to see what is that, what is the motivation. Maybe that's the case. This is every bit as true in our day, more so frankly, probably, than it was in the Rambam's day or the time of the Gemara. So if that's the case, you have to look into all this, says the Rambam. In Lo Nimsa, the middle of the third line. If you don't find the problem, Modino Sam Kavod Latar. So then, once you get through the sincerity issue, then we go to step two. We let them know it's not so easy to be Jewish. It's not that easy at all. We try to scare them. Based on the Gemara, the Rambam gives you details. In Kibbalu, but if they say, no, Afal Pikin, I still want to do it. Rosan, Shechozra, Miyava, Mekabarasan. They have such a sincere love of Judaism, they want to convert. Then we accept them. Now, what do you see from this Rambam? Stop right here for a second. The Rambam understood that the halacha, that we are makabel gerus of someone who converts l'shem ishus for purpose of marriage, is only, as we alluded to when we read the Gemara, b'diavad, we're going to learn a lot, hopefully, in the next half an hour or so. But nothing we'll say the rest of the shiur is going to change what I just said now. It's really, frankly, more for me or for Rabbonim than it would be for would-be converts or Balabatim. And that is that a Bezin is not supposed to accept a convert if they are reasonably sure that the motivation is just to get married. That's the whole purpose of the beginning of the two halachos we just read in the Rambam. Check after them, looking to see if it's sincere. Only if they're sincere, then we try to scare them off a second time by telling them how hard it is to be Jewish. But you don't get to second base unless you get to first base. And first base is we're supposed to find out if they're sincere. Then the Rambam continues. And that there were times in history, the Rambam says, I'll tell you one second, we just finished that. There were times in history, the Rambam says, where it's a blanket rule, but they didn't accept Gerib. Why? Because when the Jews were so high and mighty, it was like de facto an assumption that people were just trying to enjoy the good life, and therefore they were trying to become part of the Jewish people. That the Rambam continues and says that's the time of David and Shlomo, and there are some who say that we will be, the Gemara says there'll be no Gerim in the time of Mashiach. Same thing when we're on when we're on top of the mountain. So by definition, it's not something that we can necessarily trust in terms of their sincerity. And the Rambam continues. That appellation of Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert, does not apply to someone who converts for these other motivations. Now, so everything we said is, you know, for lack of a better term, is very firm and very strict. One problem with the Rambam is this is all we had. It seems to go against the conclusion of the Gemara. And if we didn't know better, if we were just reading the Rambam, we would think that as someone who converts l'shem Yishus is not a ger. But the Gemara concluded the ger is l'shem Yishus, having ger. So now we need the last halacha in the Rambam, halacha Yud Zayin. Ger shelo barku acharav. What if the Beis Din didn't do its job? They didn't look into it. O shlohu diyu amitzas onshan. Or, and a related point, let's say the person doesn't really know what Judaism involves because the Beis Din didn't really educate him. But nevertheless, they did the circumcision, they got a bris milah, they went to the mikvah in front of the Beis Din. Hare zeger. All of the power and momentum of the first three halachos of the Rambam and halacha Yud Zayin, he has to deal with the conclusion of the Gemara, which is that you simply kosher as a ger, but you have it obviously clearly in the Rambam, if you go through all this process. Afilu no deshebushvil davar hum is gair. Even if you know they had ulterior motives. Since they converted, So, especially in the last line of the Rambam, there's a lot that Mefarshim talk about, which is not at all our topic. The Rambam seems to have a lot of interesting kind of phrases in this formulation. Yotzim Mechlalakum, which is not an idea in the Gemara. What all that means and how that impacts conversion halachas in general is very important, but not our topic. But what we see from the Rambam, it is important even to see his development, because you get a more of a sense of things, I think, than from the Gemara alone, is, as we've mentioned and we reiterate, that is that l'chadchila, even according to the maskan of the Gemara, l'chadchila, we're not supposed to accept such a convert. But if we did, then it works. Now, what's the l'chadchila based on? Very simply, that we assume that part of a critical part of converting is Kabbalah Sanatos. You understand that there's an obligation. It doesn't just, you know, being Jewish doesn't just mean that, you know, you're going to like Lakshin Kogel and Geti Gefilte Fish and all sorts of good stuff. It means that there's a theology, there's a lifestyle, serious stuff. So if a person is motivated, that's like Ger Tzedek. But somebody who's motivated because they fell in love with a girl in college or something like that, so obviously they're lacking that motivation. They're lacking that acceptance. And therefore you're not supposed to convert them. But, as the Gemara itself said, the Rambam says, v'di'aved, if there was a conversion, the conversion stands. So that's the Rambam, I don't think it's a chiddush, but it's certainly clearer, I'd say, as his understanding of the Gemara. Yeah. So the Rambam seems to say that even that's making lemons out of lemons. Now that's the best in this bad scenario. If you were at the time of the conversion, if you had ulterior motives, you should not have been converted. But Lamaisa, if as the process goes on, your commitment gets deeper, that's even better. Even better. But you should not have been converted. Aim the dying on the Masha Ein of Rosh. You can only pass in the shadow the way it's in front of you at the moment. Right? Halacha is not about the past or the future. It's about the present. As much as possible. And in this case, the person who's outside modest, he should not have been converted. He was. So the Rambam basically, Gemara says, but yeah, but it's kosher. Well, so their hands up. Then we'll move on. Good. So what should be bothering all of you? Somebody, don't be embarrassed. Not your question.
Oh, why should it work?
There you go. I knew the right person to call on. Don't be shy. Especially when you know the right answer. Yes, the question is, why should it work? L'cha'ora, the first three halachos of the Rambam are far more compelling than the fourth. We understand why it shouldn't work. We understand the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya in the Gemara who says it doesn't work. So why does the Gemara paskin? Why does the Rambam rule like the maskara of the Gemara that b'di'evit it does work? So there seems to be two explanations. One of which is not the popular one, I didn't really find in Rishonim, but it could be that I missed it. But it is mentioned by some Achronim. And that is an idea of Dvar Moshe B'Lev, namely that in Halacha, when we often, like in the world of Kinyanim and things like that, where we have, or other types of things, that if we have Maisa that a person is supposed to do, and also a certain thought that's supposed to go along with it, we usually paskin that we go by the Maisa, that is the one that is the Koveya, that's the one that's more determinant. We say, Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. The fact that in his mind he was thinking that I don't really care, you know, that's impossible. Halacha deals with things that can, you know, wrap its arms around. You know, it's impossible to know. How are you going to know to trust the person, not to trust the person? It's not verifiable. Things that are verifiable, did he make a kinyan, didn't make a kinyan, did he make the shua, didn't make the shua. What he had in mind, did he make the shua, you know, those things are very difficult to know. Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. So some achronim say, well, maybe that's what's going on here as well. Of course, l'chachila, you should have Kabbalah Samitos. But the fact that he says he didn't, or we think that he didn't, you know, that's too hard for us to pin down. What do we know? We know he went to the mikvah. We know we got bris milah. We know we told him that this is what it means. You know, what was in the heart of hearts? Hard for us to know. That's usually not, determinant in halacha. That's one possibility. However, the more common and popular possibility, quoted by some Rishonim, but it's most famously associated with the line of the Ritva. Other Rishonim, I think, say this as well, but it's, I think, more well known in the name of the Ritva. The Ritva and Yevamos tells us as follows. Hacha, number two. Came in his gairu, v'kiblu aleihem, chazakahu, ta'agav onsaihu, gamru v'kiblu, ahagav machas ma'onis, hu geirusu. In other words, says the Ritva, it could be, in our case, the real reason that this person knocked on the rabbi's door was for ulterior motives, was l'shem yishas, was for purpose of marriage. But nevertheless, given the fact that they know that by going through with the conversion, whatever their motivation is, but they know that they're going to then be hit with all of these obligations, you know, the rabbi tells them this is part of what the Rambam had developed when you try to scare them off. I didn't quote it for you in my sort on the sheet, but if you take a look exactly where I put those three dots based on the Gemara, the Rambam, you know, Paskins, the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, Mamash, like word for word, like the Rambam. We tell how hard it is, you know, when you're not Jewish, it's so much easier, and only a few mitzvahs in your Olam Haba, and now as a Jew, it's going to be so much harder, and you know, what would you say? I've been involved in conversions. I Mamash, right when the person was going to the mikvah, we asked the people, you know, what is your favorite, most delicious tray food? Now think about that. Think about how much you loved lobster, or loved the cheeseburger, whatever it was. You know that if you go down on that mikvah, you're never going to be able to eat that again. Right? We try to just, so when you've done this to a person, whatever the reason they knocked on your door the first time, says the Ritva, Agav Onse Gamar Makdim. But once they know that they're going to be obligated, once they know that, you know what, this romantic love that I have that wants me to marry this person, it's going to come with a whole other pekala. It's going to come with a whole other bag of, so to speak, of obligations. It's going to be on them no matter what. They went through the conversion. They're obligated in it. So once they have to do with it, you know, people often in life, when they know that something's going to happen, whether they like it or not, human nature is that we make our peace with things, and we accept it. Now, where did the Ritva get this from? So he didn't make the application to Geirus, as I said, maybe other Rishonim too, but that's a Chiddush, the application. The idea is true. Anyone learn Baba Basra? Recently learned Baba Basra? This is a sugya that we have from Baba Basra. It's Halacha Nechoshet Mishpat. Kaltal Yuav is oven, right? Let's say you bully a person into selling you something. So even though really, really, really in their heart of hearts they didn't want to sell it to you, right? You were hanging them upside down on a tree, you're on the ledge, Should I want to sell me that car? Are you really sure? You're getting heavy. So when they say yes, so you can say, well, but they didn't really mean it. Kinyan needs das. Answer, no. Gomer amakli. True, they didn't want this to happen. But given the circumstances, once they realized they had no way out, gomer amakli. Agavonsa gomer amakli. In the end of the day, people make peace with things. And even though it's not l'chachila, but the evidence such a Kinyan works. So says the ritual the same thing here too. You're getting married to a Jewish girl. Right? You're moving to Mansi. You got no choice. So you weren't motivated, you weren't sincere, okay. But it's a reality. And that reality creates a pressure which a person feels that they have to live up with. I guess we would say Manchester. May that work better? Yeah, it's something about the M's. Okay, yeah.
I think Rav Schechter, when he was here last Friday night, he spoke, one of the men asked him about gears.
Oh. You didn't tell me that at the beginning of the year. You were waiting for me to say something to step on a landmine?
One question I just remember now. I think you mentioned something along the lines of that if a person's getting married for the wrong reasons, or whatever it is, something similar to this, that it still goes through because we're assuming that they still want to have the obligations and everything. But instead, this is assuming that they're going to keep the obligations, that if it were to be that they went to the gears, and then afterwards we see that they weren't actually,
we still have some time. This year's not over. It's okay. It's a good point. I don't know. I can't know exactly what Rashad had in mind. That wasn't there, obviously. But what he may have had in mind is stuff that we're going to discuss in the continuation of this year. Okay? But it's a very good question. Yeah?
What was the mindset of Shimon
and Lady?
They attacked
both of
the
figures.
Fine.
They didn't care. They wanted to kill them. That was it. Look at the Pesukim. You mean because I mentioned that Chasam Sofer? I don't know. Ask the Chasam Sofer. I don't know. I'm saying, I don't know. Could be that either. Maybe they held like Rav Nechemia. I mean, if you want to get really technical, that's what the Chasam Sofer said. They held like Rav Nechemia. This whole Gemara is not like them.
But we don't take
like
a mitzvahs from the Gemara.
Therefore what?
Therefore,
I did. The Gemara didn't quote that. That's just Arshir. This is not the source of Geirus in the Torah. No, this is no. When the Gemara decides, how do we know that you have to get a circumcision or a mikvah, that kind of stuff, the Gemara in Yevamos learns that from the way the Jewish people converted to some extent to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. Exactly that transition of history. Okay? So now, what's the problem with this world that the Ritva envisions? Alright, I said, listen, you're marrying the Jewish girl anyway, you're marrying the Jewish boy anyway, so you have no choice, you have to live a religious lifestyle anyway, so, of course, you made peace with it. What's the problem with that? It's a little bit alluded to what your question was. Problem is, it doesn't really reflect the reality that any of us live in. And in fact, the Achronim already for close to 100 years have been making this point. That even if we accept the Ritva, that may have been true once upon a time. Once upon a time, when people to live as a Jew meant, okay, now you're going to live. Sometimes it meant literally in a ghetto, or at least in some, or it's not a ghetto in the persecution sense, but in the shtetl, right? You're going to go move. In very many cases, it meant literally moving in with the in-laws. So then, you have no choice. That's what it meant to be a Jew. But now, where you can marry a Jew, and she's not religious, you're not religious, no one has the intention of being religious. You can go to a whole community called irreligious. The Ritva says it's going to be an onus, it's going to force you. You're going to have to live the lifestyle, so you accept it at the last second. Who's going to live what lifestyle? What are we talking about? So, a few Achronim say this, but I put two of them on the sheet. One of them is a Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram was of Avram Shapira, the Rav of Kovna. He was the Rav before the war of Kovna, the great Gaon. Two biographical notes worthy of mentioning. One is that the former Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav and the chief rabbi of Israel was Rav Avram Shapira. That was his namesake. It was a grandson. And he also was the one, when it came time for Rav Salvechik to get a smicha, even though he had learned 20-something of sechtes already with his father, and obviously his father was his main rebbe, but they wanted to get a smicha from someone who wasn't named Salvechik. So Dvar Avram is the one who gave him smicha. And we have a copy of the Tzav Smicha that he gave from Salvechik, and let's just say it's more flattering than mine is. I have a standard one. have the same one as Reish. But his was unbelievable. He writes the Halacha Kamosha B'chamakom. He's going out there. He's already famous. You have to paskal like him and everything. Anyway, that was the Dvar Avram smicha for salvation. But be that as it may, the Dvar Avram was a great go in his own right, the Rav of Kovna. And he makes a point, which was also made, probably a little bit afterwards, but in the general, certainly in the same generation, by the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel. Rav Kook was not the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel because Rav Kook died before the founding of the state. But the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel was Rav Herzog Zatzal, who was also a super duper duper genius. He was European born, and he was a chief rabbi in Great Britain, and then they brought him over to Eretz Israel. Rav Herzog. And they brought him over to Eretz Israel. Anyway, Rav Herzog and the Dvar Avram both make this point, that even if we accept the Ritva, it has nothing to do with the reality of 20th century, and we can now add 21st century life. Just read the Lashon of the Dvar Avram. He says, what happened in the olden days? This guy loves this girl. But he's going to have to go live with her, he means geographically. In a Jewish neighborhood. And he knows if he doesn't live a Jewish lifestyle, and he doesn't follow the laws, she's not going to want to live with him. Furthermore, but the Jewish community will throw him out. You couldn't just be a brazen non-Shomer Shabbos once upon a time. You had to leave the community. There were people who left the community. It wasn't like everyone was always firm, of course not. But the community as a community, of course, was religious. That was what it meant to be a Jew. Was it meant to be religious? If you don't want to be religious anymore, you left being Jewish. So now you're going to marry this girl, you're going to move into the shtetl, let alone the ghetto. So of course this guy knows he's got no choice. He got a choice. Either he can marry this girl or not. But if he wants to marry the girl, apparently he does, he's going to have to live a religious lifestyle. So once he knows that, he makes peace with it. But whoever says the Dvar Avram, nowadays, Masha'in kin Akshav, Shagam Ishazu, even this woman is not from. Gam Chalik Adorm is Svivayin and Ohl Miyadus. And so many Jews in general are not religious. Gam Achar Geir, so he had Onis Klaw. There's no pressure on him after the wedding to be more religious than he was the day before the wedding. Loshayach Lomar, Agabon, say Gamar Makabo. Hecha Yitzchak, the Tshuva of Rav Herzog, says something very similar. He says, it used to be, again, the pressure, he writes there in the second line of the parentheses, Me'achevra, right? People didn't want to be, people part of the community, they want to be cut off, etc. Mash'enkin bi'ameinu, shekol kach harbe chavshim. There's so many irreligious people. Lo rashinim iskashim b'glazeh. And it's not just that we don't persecute them, they're not second-class citizens. On the contrary, El Sha'omdim Od Rosh Ha'uma of Hakilos, right? Again, you have to realize the biography of Herzog, you appreciate this more. Right? He's basically speaking about the leadership, the first generation leadership of the secular Zionists. So it's not just that you're not a second-class citizen, on Adarava, you're gonna lead the people, you're the leader. You don't have to worry Yamatha to be the leader, you should have Shabbos to be the leader. Okay, Yesh Lofer, so nowadays we have to be concerned, Shaydeno Behemis Makabo Lushmas Masos. Right? It's a different reality than the Ritva's time. We can't assume that a person really means it just now, nowadays. Anyway, okay, you got the point. We don't need to belabor it. The bottom line is this basic mahalich, and there's other tshuvas, other examples, we'll see some in a little bit, but basically this is the basic mahalich for those in their day, and including our day, who want to be machmir on these kashas, okay? Namely, that you need sincerity. You know the Gemara seems to imply b'dievet, it worked. But the Ritva said it only worked b'dievet because they really, really meant it on some level. Now, folks can say, but you see they don't mean it, and that might have been, I'm guessing, in some form or another, that's what Rav Shapiro had in mind. You see the person doesn't keep anything day before or day after. Obviously, they didn't mean it. There was no agav on Gamma Machne, and therefore it wouldn't work. I want to spend just about 10 more minutes with you. I want to show you that there is at least, just show how complicated this is, there is a little bit of another side of the story. And actually it goes back to Tshuva of the Rambam. And it goes back, the Rambam is quoting this halacha of Nitan that I mentioned previously, but without getting into the details of the Tshuva of the Rambam. The bottom line is, in the Rambam's case, he says basically the Farish, that sometimes we will convert somebody, even though we know it's not sincere, even though it's not a great thing, because if we don't do it, it'll be worse. That's what's going to happen if you go to the rabbi and say, I want to convert because I want to marry this girl, and the rabbi says, no. Do you think that the next time they see each other, you go back to the Jewish, boyfriend or girlfriend and say, well, how'd the rabbi do with the rabbi go? Actually, the rabbi said, I can't convert. Oh, well, I guess we have to break up. See ya. Good luck. That's not going to happen. They're going to be married anyway. So in a variation of that kind of a case, the Rambam says, basically, sometimes we'll do the conversion, because we're gonna. It's better than the alternative, right? Sometimes the medicine tastes bitter, but we have to take it. It's a bitter pill. The Rambam's not happy about this. Of course, the Rambam's not happy about this. The same Rambam we saw earlier, the Rambam in the Tshuva, says, you know, sometimes we have to allow this. Look at the end of the page. Sometimes you have to do things. Nowadays we call it a heter kiru, so to speak. Ba'amar, when we say second page, mutav shiyach rotav lo shuman atzma. That's his mashal. You know what? It's still treif, but better he only eats the gravy than he also eats the fat, so to speak, also eats the meat. It's not great, but it's at least better than the alternative. And therefore we say, Eis lasos Hashem. You know, sometimes they have to make exceptions, we have to do exceptional things. We're going to run out of time, Adam. Let me just finish up. So this Rambam has been expanded and applied by Poskim, certainly for the last, I would say, 150 years, to a lot of contemporary cases. One of the shailas, which I did not put on your sheet, was Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuvas Tov Tam V'Das. He has the case where the Jew comes to the rabbi with his girlfriend, and he says, listen, and again, you have to understand, they lived in a different world than we did. It wasn't just the Jewish people more religious. The whole world was more religious. There wasn't such a thing called a secular community, alright? You're either going to be, in the concept of civil marriage, didn't exist for much of the history of Europe. Civil marriage is a new concept. Either you get married by the church, or the other church, or by the mosque, or by the rabbi. So the guy comes to the rabbi and says, listen, rabbi, if you convert her and marry us in the shul, so to speak, we'll be happy. But you should just know, if not, we're getting married. Which will mean that I gotta get baptized so that I can get married in the church. What say you, Rabbi? This is a shayla that was asked to Rav Shlomo Kluger. And Rav Shlomo Kluger matters converting the girl and marrying them, and he quotes the Rambam in this tshuva as his basis. When you have the Rambam, then Rav Shlomo Kluger, who obviously lived, Rav Shlomo Kluger died in the mid-1800s. So he lived plenty of years after the Rambam. But once you had a tshuva of the statue of Rav Shlomo Kluger taking this Rambam and paskining like it, that led to a few other poskim who were willing, again, not happily, but a few other poskim who were willing to do similar things as well. For example, if you take a look at the tshuva of the Achi Ezer, excuse me, of the Malam Lahoyo. Malam Lahoyo was Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. He died in the early 1920s, and in the pre-war Germany, he was the big gadol. I mean, he was a gadol ador in general. He was a recognized gadol, but he was the gadol in his generation in Western Europe, in Germany. So the Malam Lahoyo has a tshuva. You see it, I have the shayla there. It says, Kohen Isa Nachris. You have a Kohen, a Jew for our purposes, who's already married to a non-Jew. I don't know how to pronounce that German word, but it means civil. It's a civil marriage. He didn't convert, they didn't go to the church. If they're married already, it's a civil marriage. Furthermore, in his case, it's a fascinating, tragic case. That a child, and you know, he's Jewish, you know, as often is the case even in our day. Even in intermarriage, very often, especially if the man is the Jew, he wants his son to look like him. He wants his son also to have a bris. He knows he had a bris when he was 8 days old, or maybe he was 8 days old, but not 4 months a month, but on the 8th. But still, a lot of, obviously, you know, many, many secular Jews are still having bris, thankfully. So, they even had this baby have a bris, even though he wasn't Jewish, technically. They had the baby have a bris. And now, what happened? Nebuch, tragically, the baby died. Whatever the circumstances are, it doesn't matter how old the baby was, the baby died. And this mother, as you can imagine, she's brokenhearted. She's Liba Nokva, but one of the things that's particularly adding pain to the human tragedy is she can't imagine that with her son, who she lost, she's not the same religion. If you will, she will be buried in the same cemetery as her son. Again, she might have been halakhically Jewish. But she knows that she has a Jewish husband, that they give him this ritual circumcision that Jews do. She wants to be Jewish like she thought her son was. That's exactly the shiloh. Rabbis don't invent the shiloh, they come to them as they are. Right? So this is how the woman said, Libo nokva she'enena ba'osa das kibna. For also his guy released as a coin kedas mitzvah Yisrael. And what's the concern? Yishlochosh im lo yaba bezdin lagayar sanafris. If we don't let her do this, she'tichalev et tishtaga. She'll go crazy. She's mama, she's so tzabrach, she's so broken up with the loss of her son. And if we don't let her convert, she's mama, she's going to go off the deep end. She's going to sakanas. Ech yasu, what do we do? So in the course of this tshuva, in responding to this shayla, Shlomo Kluger says the similar ideas to the Rambam, based on the Rambam, excuse me, the Malam Lahoyo. Im kein kinei lahazlas yisrael v'yisr chamer, v'vadai tov shiagayru ha'isha hanachos. He proves, which is not the purpose of the title, the topic of our shir, that to stay married, to get married to a non-Jew, to live with a non-Jew, is a worse avera then neither of which they're inevitably going to be violating. The fact that a Kohen can marry Gioris, which obviously going to be violating. They're all bad, but they're not as bad as marrying a non-Jew. And therefore, he says it's better we should allow her to do this. And he gives other details, which the Hebrew here is pretty easy, actually. You can try to read it on your own. But for the sake of time, I'll skip the rest of it inside. But basically, that is the presence of the Malam Elohayel. Now, one major point, though, I want to add from him, which is, I think, a chiddush of his, which I think is really part of the basis of some of these mekilim. And we'll see one or two others outside, and then we'll conclude the shiur in 2 minutes. But the Malam Elohayel adds the following point. Take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom of Malam Elohayel. There's a period and then a break in the underline. Then you see Gam Yesh Lomar, you see that? So until now, Malam Elohayel is just applying the Shlomo Kluger, he's applying the Rambam. You know what? If it's, you know, saving, you know, they have a precedent for this. But then he says something which I don't think I've seen anyone say this. But I think that this Malam Elohayel, this point we're about to read, is very critical, not only for understanding his Shita, but I have to believe that it's really underlying, maybe it's even underlying the Rambam, if you want to go far that far back, but certainly underlying the post-scheme of his generation and ours, who in these difficult cases are Mekel. Because again, we have the overriding issue of with the Ritva, but Rav Herzog, with the Dvar of Rum. There's no Kabbalah of Mitzvah, there's no sincerity, there's no societal pressure to convert, to accept the Mitzvah. So what's going on? How can we do this? You know, it's bad. It's nice to help people, but we still have to have those, you know, halakhic integrity. How are we doing this? So the Malam Elohayel adds, we're at that period. Gam Yesh Lomar. The Davke in Mekavlin Ager Mishum Takana Didei Shrika Lomar Lo Al Tegabo Kol Tor Kula O Tishar Nachri. It depends what we're doing. If our motivation as a Bezdin, as, so to speak, from halakha, we are halakha. If our motivation is takana didei, we're doing it for the quote benefit of the care. A person knocks on our door with a rabbi, single, no marriage, none of this stuff, just a simple, boring case. She took a religion class in college, she's convinced that Judaism is true. Boom! She lived down the block from nice Jewish boys who went to Shalvim, and they came back, and there was such mention, and there was such a Kiddush Hashem, and she said, wow, such nice, fine boys, all the 19-year-olds I know are Chaya Behemoths, and these are such nice guys, so I have to be Jewish. Something like that, very sincere. So when we convert her, we believe we're doing it for her benefit. It's supposed to be a Jew, wonderful. So then, if that's the case, then we let her know, you know, him or her, the case may be. It's serious, it's Kabbalah Sam Mitzvot. If you're not ready for that, better to be a not-Jew. You go to Olam Haba that way too. But that's typical. Benito and Nidan, however. In our case, however, it's different. Why? Aval im anu megayrin osam yishum takata di Yisrael. Vadai mutov shetiskayer v'yufsa zera Yisrael. V'yichayim yisrael kares al yada. But here, what's going on? What's our motivation as a bezin, as a halachic system? For her benefit? No. We're doing it to save him. And as he puts it, we're doing it to save the children. Because if they don't convert her, then those children are going to be lost to Israel. They're going to be lost to the Jewish people. They're going to be non-Jews. And therefore, he says, when our motivation is not for the convert, we're not just looking at the convert's sake, but we're looking at a bigger picture. We're looking at, in this case, at what's best for this potential spouse, the Jewish spouse, and potentially the children, etc., this bigger picture, then we take the bitter pill and swallow it. We're letting him do averos, right? He's a Kohen, and she's a Gioras, and other things. Because if we let them stay together without the conversion, not only is the avera worse, but it's going to be much more difficult because it's going to be confusing. Are the kids Jewish? Are they not Jewish? They're going to show up to, you know, that maybe they're going to keep Shabbos and Lachanukah candles. They're going to know a little bit. So when they show up to the NCSY convention, no one's going to know that it's only the father who's Jewish. It's really a very tricky thing nowadays, because when a kid shows up in one of these clear circumstances with the name Goldberg, you really don't know if they're Jewish. Because that just means that the father was Jewish. And if the mother's not Jewish, you could be Jewish. Right? When they show up to one of these things with the name, you know, like, you know, O'Henry, then you know they're Jewish. Because it must be that the mother is the Jew and the father is the non-Jew. When they have one of these part names or really a Jewish name, it could be that it's two Jews who are not from. But half the time it's unfortunately I learned that lesson the hard way once. But anyway, yes, O'Henry. Anyway, okay. So this is the yisod of Rambam L'Hoyle. Just to show you how complicated this is, how much tension there is over what to do and how to do it. So back to back, I'll give you two tshuvas. We're not going to read it inside, but it's for you to look at from Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, really the Gadol HaDor of pre-war Europe, pre-war Litta at least. Mamash Hashem did a rachamim for him. He died in 1940, right before things got really bad in Litta. For Chaim Moser in his tshuvas Achiezer, in two tshuvas, back to back, but they're 20 years apart. One was in 1912, the other was in 1934, just 6 years before he died. In the first tshuva, 1912, Reb Chaim Moser was mekel. Basically the same idea as the Mlam L'Hoyel and the Shlomo Kluger and the tshuvas HaRambam. He felt it's not a good thing, it's not a good thing, but no, but he had we could be mekel. 20 years later, it's not clear exactly why, but or maybe the case is a little bit different, but it's hard to tell from the tshuvas themselves. He has actually a similar case, but he kind of reverses himself. You know, even though the couple is already living together and they had children, but nevertheless, he says, you know what? If they want to, it's their life, it's their choice. Halacha is not ultimately flexible. We can't do everything, even if we have good intentions. So in the first tshuva, 20 years earlier, he's willing. In the second tshuva, he is not as willing. Just, I will close with two more tshuvas. One is from Mishpatei Uziel. Mishpatei Uziel of Ben Sion Meir Chai Uziel, who was the first Sephardic chief rabbi, the first Rishon Lezion of the Medina of the state of Israel. He was a colleague in that sense with Rav Herzog, who was Ashkenazic chief rabbi, and he died actually in 1953 or so, the early 1950s. And Rav Uziel is actually the big maker, if you will. Really, nowadays, there are a lot of Rabbanim who are more liberal-leaning, mega-leaning, Rav Uziel is their hero. I think they go a little too far with what he go for places that he didn't go himself, but that's not for now. But he is a big mekel, there's no question about it. In general, on the topic of the need for Kabbalah and Mitzvot, which most of us can assume to be very central and necessary, Rav Uziel is probably the most chilled, if you will, about that. How makud you have to be on Kabbalah and Mitzvot. In some shuvas, it's not even lachakuli when you're not doing makud, but certainly b'diavad, he's not really that makud. So as it relates to this case, these kind of cases, he mentions the case of Be'ish mi-Yisrael, Shenaslo Isha Nachris, they're already civilly married, B'shayim ha-Kamashon, they're married for years, they have children, B'ata Baha Isha li-Hiskayar li-Nasei, Kedachos v'Yisrael, Ba'ala, Zeh Shenashala lo Isha b'Giusa. Hey, they're married for years. So now, all of a sudden, she wants to convert also. Im Rashan Bezlin is Dakek, Law Lagaira, can you do this or not? Came Shadas Nota Lomar Shaisha so animus gas shame garis. She's doing it just to make her husband happy, it seems. So it's not really sincere, she's not planning on being religious. So can you do that or not? And in this case he says basically, yes. He quotes again, basically he's based on the Rambam that if we'll do this, you know, the husband's parents are going to love her. They never accepted her when she's not Jewish, but now all of a sudden she'll convert, and, you know, the Jewish parents will accept her. And anyway, Trump's not doing so well. So, you know, they want to, if you're really steiging, then you wouldn't have gotten that reference. If you got the reference, you need to spend more hours with me about it. Okay. Nevertheless, says Rav Uziel, the in-laws were going to be makariv her. Plus, he quotes the Rambam Hadvaram Yikarim in the last line, namely name Shilo Natur Nesua Ima Achre Gerusa Yishar Nesum Kol Yemeim Giusam. If we don't convert her, you think you're going to get divorced? You're just going to stay intermarried. Therefore, it's going to be terrible. We're going to get confusion and intermarried. Children's Jewish, not Jewish. Hashem B'chazdo Yashivenu L'Mutav Halavai. They should all do tshuva. It'd be great, but it's still better to do what we can. Conclude the lastly by a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also has some tshuvas on this, and he is very stark, and we'll end with this point. It's mussar more to people like me than to you. Says Rav Moshe, listen. They've been married, in his case, says like 8 years. Yodash, Yigar Shena, and come on, he knows, at this point, she's not worried that he's going to divorce her. Unless all of a sudden he goes to, you know, Eishet Torah or something. Every now and then that happens. Where you have, you know, an intermarried couple, and then the spouse becomes a Baal Tshuva, and you know they do, and they can get divorced. It does happen, but it's very, very rare. It's not, and Rav Moshe said that's not going on here. So either we convert her or not, but they're still staying. She's not worried about her husband leaving her. Ula yeshiva acheres rechmicha, but maybe there's some other unintentional reason. Who said she's sincere? Taftiach shetishmer kol dini atorah v'lo tashkiach ha'balo v'chaviro. Ulai ne'achshav kabalo. And what are you going to say? That she's going to be so frum if you give her, you tell her, I'm only going to convert you if you come to the conversion course at the shul once a week for a year. She's not going to be firmer than her husband, who's obviously not that frum. right? You expect her to be firm with a Jewish spouse? That's not realistic, says her Moshe. But maybe, if she promises, maybe we count that a b'dieved as some kind of an acceptance of mitzvah. So I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, this is where we end, where we began. It's all b'dieved. We can maybe make, you know, lemonade out of lemons, so to speak. We can make it a little bit better. But even though, again, there is a strain of thought, or Uziel especially, but even we saw from Lyle and others, maybe there's a little bit of a l'chachila in the sense of at least we can save them from more serious averas. Rav Moshe b'dieved thinks it might work, but he's not happy with it. He's more on the side of we shouldn't do it, which is really seems like more from the Rambam, from the Ritzvah, as Avram from Herzog. And he says, Ein ruach hachamim nocham, he said. It's not what Chazal want you to be doing. Kevish English em shemayim. Even if it's a garris, and calls us a garris, even if technically it works, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. And there are some rabbanim who, for any reason, any little reason, any motivation, they're willing to accept the garris. He says, and they're fools, and they don't mind being fools. Very sharp musr that our Moshe gives to other rabbanim. Right, the Rambam's lashon was that even though you're not supposed to do it, sometimes, like in the time of their mouth there, they would give their hejotos for makabel them. So sometimes hejotos just means not musmachim, like, you know, in the biblical sense. But Moshe understands it means hejotos in a very pejorative sense. And even though you'll tell them you're doing it, you know, they don't care, they have their agenda. So Moshe is more critical than the others. So we see this kind of attention. The bottom line is, if you know anybody whose case like this is, it really has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. We see here that it's not black or white. There's certainly a certain orientation, but you have great, great gedolim who some are more strict, some are a little bit more flexible for these various considerations. And the main thing is, if you learn nothing else, a shalvim this year for me. Marry a Jew.